Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the 5th day of September, 2010. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, this is a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend. We probably got people listening that normally would not listen, and we probably are missing many of our regular listeners due to various events people will be involved in, barbecues and taking some days off and so forth. But we're going to proceed and have a great show here. This first hour, we're going to have a very special guest. This will be, maybe the third time that we've had Lucas here. And the work this young man has done is very important, very foundational to understanding the earth changes that we are already well into. There's a number of ways to approach earth changes and reaching conclusions and learning information. The route I took was to locate and interview submarine veterans who were at these classified briefings. I know another gentleman, he's a Messianic Jew, and he reached his conclusions by studying the Torah. And there's people who've used various scientific methods to analyze data from NASA and other sources. Now, Lucas reached most of his conclusions, many of his conclusions, not all, but many, by analyzing petroglyphs, rock drawings left behind by our ancient ancestors all over the planet. It was a very unique approach, and I'm really glad that he did it. His work product has been put into a DVD. We'll be hearing about his DVD, and you'll find out how to get your hands on it and so forth. As soon as this, we get finished with this first break, I'll be bringing Lucas on board here. He's on standby in the green room right now, patiently waiting down there in the beautiful state of Texas to come on and give us whatever updates he has. I sent him a video this morning, a YouTube video. We may be discussing that also. Here's that break. You all stay tuned. We'll be back with Lucas in a moment. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 5th day of September, 2010. Lucas, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir. How are you today, John?
I am fantastic. Are you having a bright, sunny day in Texas today?
Yeah, it's nice and clear out. It's a little humid today, but otherwise it's a pretty nice day. Not so hot like usual. It's only about maybe 93.
Whoa. Okay. Well, we're topping out at not quite 80 degrees here in the Ozark Mountains today. Well, tell us, Lucas, you know, this is, I refer to talk radio as a classroom with a revolving door. There's people listening, Lucas, who don't have a clue who you are or what you're going to talk about other than my brief introduction. At some point you became interested in this topic of, Wormwood, the Destroyer, the 10th Planet, all which are synonyms for the same thing. How long ago was that, Lucas?
Oh, it was actually quite a long time ago. I've been researching what the Destroyer and the Devil, per se, were for a long time, since I was a kid. Basically when I was 16 is when I really started looking into it, back in 1985. So, I've done a lot of research into just trying to figure out, because, the Bible always said the devil was going to come to get us, so I always wanted to know who the devil was so I could avoid it. And
right.
The more research I did, the more I find out it's something in space.
Well, I understand. At some point, you came across these petroglyphs and started connecting the dots. When did that happen?
Well, I was researching the petroglyphs back in about the early part of 2009, I guess, because once I started to realize, it really started with 9/11. I researched that, and then I saw that, you know, the plot was had all these holes in it that were so obvious that,
right,
that even a small child could figure that out. And so then I started to think, well, they must have left these holes open for a reason. There must be something bigger. So then I started looking at the catastrophe and things like that. And so I figured that the ancients, if there was a cyclical catastrophic event that happened, would probably have indexed it at some point in time.
Right.
So I started looking into ancient text and cave drawings and noticed all these spirals. And that was what really sent me over the edge. I had seen so many spirals already, and then all of a sudden that Norway spiral happened.
Right.
And since then, there's been two other spirals. There was one in Australia and one. There was actually one in China before the Norway spiral, but it really didn't get much coverage.
Really?
And so there's been another one over in Australia of June this year, I believe it was. And that one was amazing in itself.
Well, I wasn't aware of these newer spirals. If I had known about them, I probably forgot about them. That's very significant. And these spirals happen in close proximity to the real Earth changes, don't they?
Well, when there was another scientist who had mapped out, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he had mapped out where all the spiral petroglyphs were, and he found that a majority of them were in the mountain regions of the mountainous regions like the Rockies and the Andes and things like that, and you didn't see many of these spiral petroglyphs in the low-lying areas.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it, like in Chaco Canyon out in New Mexico, I mean, there's just tons of spirals all throughout the mountains of the West.
And have you reached a conclusion as to why that's the case?
Well, I would say they're probably the only people that survived the event. And
right.
Survived a big event like that, and you knew that some sort of spiral in the sky caused it. You know, the thing that people have to think about is that, you know, some of these petroglyphs are carved very deep in there, and they must have taken weeks and weeks of sitting there, you know, just going back and forth with a rock to carve these things into the stone. So it must have had some meaning for them to spend so much time,
right,
you know, to do all
that. Yeah, because they probably had other priorities, like finding potable water, finding stuff to eat, and keeping warm and dry and so forth, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, there is when you're living off the land, there's a lot more priority in finding food and water than there is carving a spiral in the side of a rock.
Absolutely. Some friends of mine have done that. I haven't done much of it, but living off the land, they told me, John, we spend 90% of our time finding and gathering food, and 10% preparing it and eating it.
Exactly.
No. Yeah, it's, and I guess there could be exceptions, but if you're living off the land, that's pretty much the way it's going to be. So you, in 2009, you were pulling these things together, these various resources, and at some point you started a presentation putting together would it be appropriate to call it a PowerPoint presentation?
Well, no, it's actually HTML. It's HTML. Basically a web page on a disk. It's all the information compiled as HTML, so it's easy to use.
All right, so you put together this HTML presentation, and there was an event scheduled to present that. Tell us about that, where it happened, how all the circumstances, how it came together, and when.
Well, basically, I originally created this thing because once I figured it out, I wanted to approach my friends and say, hey, you know, we need to get out of here because this is pretty, you know, the sea level is, we're not very high above sea level here. So I put this together to kind of inform my friends, and it kept getting bigger and bigger. And then I showed the owner of Brave New Books here in Austin, and he asked me if I would show it to a few of his friends. And I expected, you know, 10, maybe 12 dozen people to show up. About over 100 showed up, I believe. And it was filmed and put on YouTube and has taken off tremendously since then. It's up to 63,000 views.
Fantastic. That's really pleasing to hear that. Now, since that presentation, you and I have talked about this before. You've done some editing and cleaning up of the presentation as far as the technical aspects of it, and you now have that in the form of a DVD, don't you?
Yes, and it's a two-disc set. There's actually the first disc is a DVD of me giving the presentation at Brave New Books, and the second disc is a CD of the presentation material. That way you can reference everything and research it.
Right, right. Well, we got some, our calls are starting to come in here. Lucas, you ready for some calls?
Sure.
Sure, okay. We got Mike from Illinois. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, guys. John DiNardo, I think that's his name. I think he's pretty accurate with all of his research. But I was watching a video of this young lady talking about Nibiru. And she was saying, you know, going through the whole thing about the magnetic shift. And by time that comes, I mean, it will be within like 2 or 3 days two or 3 hours. That, I mean, there could be a mass shift in plates and water and so forth, so on. I'd just like to ask you if this is a possibility, that this can happen so fast.
Well, I saw just recently, I was watching the Discovery Channel, and as we all know, we don't know what to believe anymore out of anything that comes out of the mainstream. It's really hard to decipher through all the malarkey. But I just saw a thing that they found where it took about 2 weeks, they believe, the pole shifted. Now, the thing that's interesting about that, and where, you know, it goes in with the Bible, is it talks about the dead shall walk the earth. It never said anything about physically dead. It could possibly mean brain dead. When you think about the human brain, all of your neural net pathways in your brain are formed based upon a north and south pole on this earth. And if that suddenly switches, people's minds may actually, you know, suffer very detrimental repercussions from that. Because all your blood cells in your body are aligned north and south as they go through your body. It's an amazing process. So we don't know what the repercussions of a magnetic shift could be on the human brain.
Yeah, correct. But you know, as far as those spirals, do you think that was written about in the ancient text about omens in the sky, or, you know, any of your research suggest that people are going to see fantastic things? Like, because nobody seems to be figuring out what those are. I mean, it's not a weapon of any type scalar. Do you think so?
Well, if you look in the text of the Colburn Bible, they talk about a spiral appearing, and that it twisted about like a coil. So there is some reference to it. And I think that the majority of people, the reason why you have the petroglyphs, the majority of people that suffered and survived through this event were literally taken back in mentally. Not only were they so traumatized by seeing everything that happened, like I said, if you look at the Tower of Babel, everybody forgot how to speak to each other. Okay, how did everybody forget how to automatically speak to each other, and their language was confounded? So something, it seems like, is going to mess with people's brains to where they lose some sort of intelligence.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think. I don't know if I'll be able to think by this time, but I think water's going to be a problem. I mean, I know it sounds like way out in left field, but John DiNardo, I mean, I think he's right. I mean, he said, think about a boat and maybe even, those swimming suits that divers wear, a wetsuit. I mean, you know, you think, John, what are you talking about? But in reality, this could happen very fast.
It could. You're right, Mike.
Well, on a positive note, I had just emailed yesterday one of the world's leading experts on mega tsunamis, and I wanted to know how fast a mega tsunami travels once it hits land. So he said approximately 100 kilometers per hour. So that means there's some time.
Lucas, hold on, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 5th day of September, 2010. Lucas, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Off the air, I was complimenting you on how very professional your website looks, and you tell me that you did this yourself, and I certainly congratulate you, sir, because that's a talent. I wouldn't have a clue how to do that. But then you probably don't know how to rebuild English sports car carburetors, do you?
Well, no, I don't know. I know how to rebuild a 350 Chevy or you know.
That's close.
Car.
That's close. Well, you got some similar skills than I do as well. Give us your website address, please.
Oh, it's rabbithole2.com. That's rabbithole with the number 2 after it .com.
Pretty simple. There's a link to my website, ladies and gentlemen. You go to my links page at thelibertyman.com, and it's right there. It's just scroll down. rabbithole2.com, and you'll see a very well done website, very professional looking, and you can also find his presentation there. And give us the title of the presentation.
It's called The Destroyer Star in the Future of Mankind.
And it's a 2-DVD set, and what's the price on that is?
It's going to be $32 with shipping included.
All right, $32 with the shipping included, and that's a real value. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen this presentation. I saw the original. The one that we've got here now is far better. It's really cleaned up and very professional looking. And I recommend everybody get their own copy of this 2-DVD set. We do have a caller on hold. Before we go to that caller, Lucas, I don't know if you had a chance, but I sent you an 8-minute video on YouTube this morning. Have you had a chance to look at that, funny chance?
No, actually, I couldn't get it to load. It kept saying.
Oh, no.
I know what you're talking about the currents. I've been studying that.
Yeah, well, it's let's bring everybody up to speed here, Lucas. One of my research associates told me about a PhD scientist in Italy named Dr. Zangari. Myself and Dr. Deagle and one of our other researchers, Ann Morrison, we interviewed him in the middle of July. Dr. Zangari was pretty sure that the Gulf Stream was close to stopping or would stop, and he confirmed it about a week later, that the Gulf Stream, the North Atlantic Thermal Haline Conveyor, the loop current, there's a number of names for it, did in fact stop the middle of June. I haven't sent this to you yet, Lucas, but I will. It's a U.S. Navy image of the temperatures of the North Atlantic. And you can see, we put a big yellow arrow pointing to where the Gulf Stream turns right and goes east, right there at Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, goes out 100 or 200 miles and stops. This image was generated, I believe, August the 30th, and I believe they redo them every 24 hours. But we're off to the races here, aren't we?
Well, that's what controls our climate, our weather. We can expect, you know, if it goes typically like ice ages do, the people in Europe will feel it. You know, they'll feel it first.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And Dr. Zangari said to us live on the air, "quote unquote," the Gulf Stream is the pacemaker of the climate of the planet. Now that kind of caught me off guard. I was always aware of its effect on the United Kingdom, France, Portugal, and all those areas, and even farther north, Iceland. Yeah, but I wasn't aware of its effect on the entire planet. Apparently, it affects the atmosphere 7 miles above the level of the ocean. So it interferes with the jet stream as well.
Well, can you imagine 100 feet of snow per year in places that are not used to getting very much snow? That's how the glaciers build up. It just keeps snowing and snowing and snowing, and
doesn't
next
quit.
Thing, next
doesn't
thing
quit.
You know, you have a glacier.
Right, right. Well, the Indianapolis had a mile of ice on top of it at one time. New York City, 3 miles of ice. And it just keeps snowing and won't quit. You're right. That's how these things get built up. I guess the question in a lot of people's minds is, how bad will it get, how quickly? And it's more a matter of speculation at this point, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody, even the most well-qualified person on the planet, whoever that may be, has an exact idea of what's going to happen. I think it, I personally, just from reading ancient things and also adding a little prophecy in there, which I don't necessarily believe in, but it's very coincidental, would think that there's going to be two events, a smaller one, which will be called the rapture or other different names, and then the bigger event down the road. And
I agree. I've come to the same conclusion. We got a call here, Robin in San Jose. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, John, and I forgot your guest's name.
Lucas.
And first of all, I don't get to call very often because I usually work on Sundays, so I had a work-free day, so I get to be on live. John, one of the things I want to commend you for is there are so many alternative radio talk show hosts out there that badmouth other talk show hosts, and I want to commend you because I don't think I've ever heard you badmouth anybody else.
And you won't.
A lot of us, this really irritates me when I hear that because it turns me off so much. It's like, you know, we all have our poop piles, is what I call them, and we don't agree with everything.
Robin, those are small people with inflated egos is who's doing that.
And
well, hold on through the break, Robin. We can get to your question. Hold on, Robin. Lucas,
okay.
Hold on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 5th day of September. Got to take care of paying some bills here before we get back to our guest and our caller. So, Freeze Dry Guy has a September special. And the September special is gluten-free survival kits, 72-hour and 36-hour. The 72-hour gluten-free survival kit. And I didn't even know Freeze Dry Guy had this stuff until I got this on my email list. But here's what's in the 5-gallon bucket. 1/2 pound of sugar, 1 pound of powdered dairy whey, casein-free, 1 pound of whole powdered eggs, 1 pound of orange drink, a package of blueberry pancake mix, a package of chocolate pudding mix, a package of dry pancake syrup, the following 6 complete meals: cowboy soup, chicken vegetable soup, Italian bean soup, Texas goulash, pasta, vegetable soup, and potato soup, and last but not least, a package of cornbread. All that for $187.50, shipping included. The 36-hour gluten-free kit, only $67.50. It's got a package of blueberry pancake mix, dry pancake mix, and these following 4 complete meals: cowboy beef and rice, Texas bean bake, minestrone soup, and chicken vegetable soup. Makes me hungry just thinking about it. Toll-free number, give them a call Tuesday morning on the left coast, 866-404-3663. There's a link from my website, thelibertyman.com. If you know anybody, or if you have any interest in firearms, how to maintain them, take them apart, put them back together, repair them, modify them, even shoot them, how to clean them properly. American Gunsmithing Institute has a DVD, or possibly a number of DVDs. I just found out my webmaster has a complete master gunsmithing course. You can get the free 2-hour sampler plus a 90-page full-color catalog if you call the following toll-free number, 800-474-2514. I say again, 800-474-2514. There's a link from my website, actually a nice big banner at my website, thelibertyman.com. And last but not least, if you want electricity at your home, at your farm, at your ranch that you own and you control that will last for decades, you want an Edison battery available from ZapWorks. It's Zebra Alpha Papa Papa, ZapWorks.com. There's a link from my website, thelibertyman.com. Up in Dillon, Montana, that's where you can talk to Rick Salata about the Edison batteries. He's on Mountain Time. I've given him a call Tuesday morning, Mountain Time, about 9 o'clock Mountain Time, 406-834-3611. And he also, of course, has the Lodge cast iron cookware and the receivers to build your own firearms. And let's get back to Robin. Go ahead, Robin. What's your question?
Well, my question is, and I think I heard it on Dr. Deagle's show when you guys were on, that probably before the year is out, this wormwood or whatever it is that's going to affect us is going to be spotted, you know, with on a regular basis. And I'm just wondering, what does that mean?
By normal people, yeah.
By normal people, and what does that mean? What are we expecting?
I don't recall that specific quote on Deagle's show, but I don't doubt it could have been.
It was on one of them that I listened to. It could have been Project Camelot. I don't know. I don't remember exactly.
I know we all listen to so much stuff. The best time for viewing the 10th planet in so far has been in the late spring, and that's from the extreme south, like extreme south Australia, the Antarctic, and so forth. And it travels in a cloud of dust and debris, and really, unless you got special equipment, you haven't been able to see it because you need infrared imaging to see it. So you're right. At some point, I'm not going to say it's going to be before December 31st, but at some point, we'll all be able to see it. And, of course, by then, it'll be way too late to do very much if you haven't done it already in terms of preparation. I wouldn't focus on that too much, Robin. We know at this point that these events are kicked into high gear. When we move on here and I get back to talking to Lucas, we're going to be talking about the Gulf Stream a little bit more detail and what that means and why it's so significant. Did you have another question or comment, Robin?
No, that's it. I'm just glad to be on live.
Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Lucas, the... did you happen to see the film The Day After Tomorrow?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, I tell people there's some science in there and there's some science fiction in there. One of the things that's very significant in terms of science is these three teenagers are in the museum in New York looking at a stuffed and mounted mastodon, which is about the size of four African elephants. And they're standing there looking at this thing and reading the little sign that the mastodon was eating green leafy vegetables one moment and flash frozen the next, instantly flash frozen. And they didn't say this in the movie, but I know it to be a fact, that the meat from these mastodons has been harvested and sold in Paris restaurants for human consumption as a delicacy. Now that's science, isn't it?
Well, there is, put it this way, the all the rivers in the world used to flow east to west. Okay, so think about a long time ago, they went by thousands of years ago, they went by a 360-day calendar. The temperature was over a degree hotter on the planet, and the ocean levels were higher. Then all of a sudden, something happened. The Egyptians changed their calendar to 365 days. The rivers started flowing north to south, and, it seems like something with a heavy gravitational force pulled our planet away from the sun a little bit. That's why the temperature dropped a little bit. The ocean levels went down a little bit because it was actually hotter a few thousand years ago than it is now. They're all screeching about global warming, but it was actually hotter.
Really? Well, I know what you're saying about the calendar is absolutely accurate. I've never looked into the matter of which direction the rivers flow. That's something I never really considered or thought about. And you're right, the majority of rivers, major rivers anyway, do flow north-south these days, don't they?
Yes, and what's really going to burn your noodle is when you find out that they discovered up in Illinois, it was either Illinois or Michigan, Egyptian artifacts that predate Columbus. Okay, so that's going to open up a whole can of worms that they're going to have to bury.
Well, I would love to get in the basement of the Smithsonian because that's where they hide all that stuff,
And the Vatican Library and the Vatican collection room they have
absolutely.
Over there.
There was some man-made tunnels, what appeared to be man-made tunnels, found coming off of the Grand Canyon that had apparently contained Egyptian artifacts as well. You're familiar with that story, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also think that the tablets that that the Mormons go by were had something to do with the ancient Egyptian writings too. The plates that were supposedly found.
Right. Well, I guess that's a possibility. I mean, I never really thought about it too much, but I guess that's a possibility that is the source for those. I know the Egyptian artifacts found in Arizona at the Grand Canyon. There was a local newspaper that wrote up a story and published it before the Smithsonian got there and gathered up everything and got everybody shut up.
Well, look where the Mormons based, and they're in Utah. My sister is a Mormon, and I know a little bit about it. And that's why when they go out on a mission, they basically send them out on a mission and say, "Survive for the next couple of years on your own. Figure out how to survive. Don't get any support from the family." You know, it's all about preparation. Just like they're called mason jars for a reason. They're for food storage. You know, there's a lot of connections there that people aren't putting together.
Right. Well, when I first ran across these young men, 18-year-old young men, the Mormons going out on their mission, and basically a little more than boys, and their little name tag says elders, Elder John or Elder Lucas or whatever it was, you know.
Right.
I almost laughed in their face, and come on, elder, you know, you're barely old enough to shave.
Yeah, that's basically a preparation. They're there to survive. And I think that, you know, the inside scoop on a lot of religion is based upon this, based all around this event. You know,
well,
God creates something to regulate our population and our natural selection.
Well, it'll certainly do that. There'll be a lot of selection going on. I know Robin's still listening. She was talking off air about her and her significant other considering getting away from the San Francisco Bay Area. And Robin, I think it's either do that or learn how to hold your breath really, really well. You know, these events are coming. The Gulf Stream has stopped, and I was looking for confirmation, and I've got all the confirmation I need from these Navy images, it's as real can be. We have yet to see the next 90 to 120 days. It'll be winter in the United Kingdom, and we'll all be breathlessly waiting to see what happens up there, if they get a more or less normal winter, or if it turns into Siberia.
Yeah, remember last year I don't know if you saw the satellite image, but it looked like Antarctica up there. The whole place was frozen solid last year.
Well, they'd already, you know, even though it has officially stopped, the Gulf Stream's warming effect has been dramatically reduced the last 10 to 20 years. As of December 2005, they announced officially it had lost half of its mass and velocity, and there has been no public discussion or announcement since then how much it's been reduced. Obviously now the cat's out of the bag and it's completely stopped. The imaging from the Navy shows the temperatures already dramatically reduced in the British Isles.
Yeah, we're in for a doozy.
We are.
Sure.
We are, absolutely.
Some earth changes that we probably... I mean, there's sinkholes opening up everywhere around the world. I even stopped reporting on them because I'd be, you know, writing a story every single day on them. You know, there's...
Yeah, I got a forward here from one of my research associates, Mr. Sheldon Day, and talks about an article that John DiNardo forwarded to all of us on the research team here, and talks about the Indian Point nuclear reactor, just 24 miles north of New York City, being at risk because of seismic activity. That's a pretty serious thing. As apparently, when they built this thing, they weren't aware of a fault being either right underneath it or very close proximity.
Well, when they built these tens of thousands of offshore oil rigs, too, they didn't compensate for what happens if all of a sudden the axis of the Earth shifts and a big wave wipes out all of them. There's
going
to be billions of gallons of oil in the ocean.
Well, quite frankly, at that point in time, we'll have more important things to worry about than dead fish in the ocean. We'll be worried about the ocean being where we're living.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Now, out in your backyard, how far are you in Austin from the ocean there, the Gulf of Mexico?
Far enough that there's still shells laying on top of the ground around here.
I know that. We've talked about this before. How many, in terms of miles, how far are you?
About 250. Well, about 200 at its closest point. But, you know, the interesting thing is the Gulf is a little bit of a shield. Unless something hits right in the Gulf or whatever, it's going to have to come over Florida for the most part. And because I believe that whatever waves are going to be coming from the east.
Well, I agree with you, Lucas, and I'm not sure Florida is going to have much of a – it'll slow it down a bit, but the peninsula of Florida, what's the highest point above sea level, 50 feet?
Yeah, probably not more than 100 feet at the most, probably.
Oh, I think 100 feet is pretty optimistic as far as the peninsula. Now, once you get up to the mainland, you run into a little bit higher ground, but most of Florida is pretty darn flat.
I think I'm 504 feet above sea level here.
And there's seashells. Flat. Is there much dirt, or is it mostly sand in your backyard?
It's a combination of clay and sand, clay, and mostly, you know, leaf debris like composted oak and cedar.
Well, I was down in Texas about 2 months ago doing a private consultation, and my client's driving me up to his new home he's building to be a safe haven. Before I even got out, I looked down at the ground. I took one look, and I said, this used to be the bottom of the ocean. There wasn't any dirt at all. It was all sand.
Yeah.
And we were 100 miles from the ocean. We were 100 miles from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And apparently his wife had never really thought about that, and the two of them had never talked about it. My client was already aware of the fact that his home, 100 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, was at one time under the ocean.
Yep, and same with here, too, the whole place. And I thoroughly believe that the reason why they find most of the dinosaur graves, they find mass graves, you know, along the Rockies there is because tsunamis washed their carcasses up there and piled them up in big piles. That's why they have
right.
the mass grave.
On the east side of the Rockies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, there wasn't there just this summer another mass grave of dinosaurs and so forth found, mammoths. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
And that's another thing, too, is that all the big, that was the other extinction event where all the big mammals of the North America died off all at once. You know, what caused that? And that was about the same time as Plato dates the sinking of Atlantis, right in that same time.
Right, about three cycles ago. You know, what do you think here, Lucas? My belief, my opinion, based on what I know, is about every three cycles, we really get smacked down in the mud. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, if you look at the Volstagg ice core data, and you'll notice it seems like we go through these 80,000 year ice ages and then 20,000 year warm periods.
Okay.
And it seems like whatever happens, like it happens a number of times and makes the planet a little hotter each time it happens, and then all of a sudden some event just triggers the planet to go into a cold phase, and it just keeps getting colder each time it happens for 80,000 years, and then the whole process starts over again.
Okay. Well, that's a longer cycle. I'm referring more to the 3,600-year cycle. Three cycles ago, there was advanced technology, plain old human beings, not aliens, that had the ability of cracking the atom and spaceflight both.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And it's among us who are researching it, like yourself and myself and some others, this is becoming quite common knowledge that our ancestors had the ability to crack the atom and spaceflight both. And that was all lost. These Earth changes were so egregious. There's nothing like a mile-high tidal wave to ruin your whole day. I mean...
Yeah, right.
Whoa, baby. I mean, it's breathtaking. It's absolutely breathtaking. At the same time, you know, we got a break. Lucas, hold on. Everybody stay tuned. The call number is 800-313-9443.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It's Sunday, the 5th day of September. Lucas, we're quickly running out of time. Did you want to come over, carry over to the next hour with us for a while? Lucas, can you hear me now? We're on the air.
Yep.
We're quickly running out of time. Do you want to carry over to the next hour with us?
Sure.
Okay. We got a caller on hold here, Lucas. I was talking to him off the air. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but the story he's got of what happened in the last 24 hours in Canada, I think everybody needs to hear this. Dave, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you, John?
Fantastic. Now, what part of Canada are you in?
I'm in Northern Ontario.
Northern Ontario.
Central Canada.
You've lived up there how long?
54 years.
Well, then you have an idea about these weather cycles. What's happened the past 24 hours with your weather up there?
John, okay, they go by Celsius, but I'll explain it in Fahrenheit to the people that don't deal in Celsius.
Right.
We were sitting at 30 degrees Celsius, which is approximately 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
When?
Last night, or yesterday.
Yesterday, okay.
Yesterday. In 24 hours, we dropped down to 7 degrees Celsius. Now, that is 44.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, now has that happened before?
Not in August, or at least... John, last week, now, people can go back on the archives last week, and I told you that the blue jays have come out of the deep woods, the chickadees have come out of the deep woods, geese are flying, and I told you that, hey, we've 2 weeks ago, just by the animals, not by science, just by Mother Nature and the animals, told me, hey, look, this is going to be a hurting bad this year. It's going to be extremely cold, and not to do with the Gulf Stream. I'm not educated. I have a grade 8 education. I don't know any of the science, but I listen to your show, but I go by Mother Nature and all the animals, like the Farmer's Almanac.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, I've increased my wood supply 44, or doubled it, up to 44 face cords, because that's what the animals have told me. Now, even in concurrence with my comments, five callers later, up in Alaska, he turned around and said, yes, their seasons are all screwed up. It's way early. And he blamed it on the volcano action in Iceland. Well, sir, I agree with Lucas. I agree with you and all your scientists. But I look at what is happening to me up here and what the animals are telling me. And how can you people deal down south? And this is what I've been crying and screaming. And my wife says, what's wrong with you? And I said, these people that are looking for their getaway vehicles down south, if we have a jet stream that comes down, like I'm used to working in 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 degree below zero weather up here, because I can handle it and I know what to do. Our buses are stopped up here in Canada at 34 below zero because they cannot save the children out standing at the highway or something. If a diesel bus breaks down, they're exposed to the elements.
Right.
What happens to you people if you have a flash freeze? And this is what the ice age, when you were talking about 100 feet of snow, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see these big woolly animals being frozen to death instantly in 2 weeks.
Dave, we appreciate that. You want to hold on a little bit? I want to talk to Dave off the air here, Mr. Engineer. Lucas, hold on, everybody. Stay tuned. We got a top of the hour break. We'll be right back.